Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
10 to 2 in whatever it's called now. Guaranteed. Is that guaranteed rate, first rate, American Family Park? I don't know. I always forget the names. It's Miller Park to me, and it always will be. Some people might say the same thing about Heinz Field. It never feels easy. Yesterday did not feel easy. They kept getting up. They kept bringing it back. They kept getting it. They got back up. Here's a 3-0. Here's a pitch. Green light. Christian Yelich. Goodbye. But they did get it done, which oftentimes has not been the case when facing the Brewers. It usually, or in past years, it has gone extremely sideways. It did not go sideways for the Pirates last night. One of the major reasons it did not go sideways was because Nick Gonzalez joined a pretty elite fraternity of Pirates second basemen with 5-hit games. In fact, that elite fraternity is so short, I can name them for you all right now. Adam Frazier, Neil Walker, Freddie Sanchez, Warren Morris, Jeff King, Johnny Ray, Rennie Stennett, Dick Bartel. Cook was around to cover that one in 1929, and Cook was just cutting his teeth as a young reporter in 1922 when Cotton Tierney did it against the Chicago Cubs, first time in franchise history. Did you like that history lesson, Brownie, about 5-hit games by Pirates second baseman?
I love the Pirates history, Mulsey. Love it.
Cotton Tierney, did that one? Would that one have rung a bell?
Old Cotton Tierney. Old Cotton, yep. He was a doozy.
Well, I'm starting with that because I have... Listen, I believe in what you see, and I like your optimism about the Pirates, but some of the times, Greg, I'll come very clean here. We haven't talked in 2 weeks. I was out on vacation last week. When we've talked about this team sputtering offense, and you in the past had cited Nick Gonzalez not being part of the lineup and being something that could give them a boost, I wouldn't say I rolled my eyes, but I thought he's Nick Gonzalez. He's not 2001 Barry Bonds. He's not going to have that big of an impact. And yet, it does seem, with yesterday being kind of a nice little capper, like they're starting to get more of the offense that they expected to get from that guy now that he's back.
I agree 100%. And it's not just Gonzalez, it's the other guys. And that's why we talk about, and I understand people rolling their eyes when I've mentioned not having Gonzalez or Horowitz, for that matter, in the lineup. Teams like the Pirates, I mean, it's a broken record, but teams like the Pirates cannot afford injuries to what are major players for them, for this Pirates team. It's just different than most every other club in baseball. And so when you lose a cog, then the rest of the lineup doesn't click, and they're still not all clicking yet. But we've said this before also, the Pirates are built on pitching, defense, and just enough hitting to score. That's how they're going to win, if they are going to win. And, this is the Gonzalez that's the reason why they drafted him. It's the reason you heard people talk about him being the best college hitter in the draft. There was really little debate about that. And, you hear baseball people say it, Chris. I hear it all the time. I don't know the intricacies of it. I'm not, into all the other stuff. But just the fact is the guy can just plain hit. And I think Horowitz is also one of those guys that's just going to be able to hit.
Well, with Horowitz, though, what I'm a little concerned by is, and I know he hasn't played that much this year, it's 121 plate appearances, but it is one home run, and this has been a constant refrain here, because when you have Ke'Bryan Hayes on the other end of it at a power position, 3 combined home runs and over 400 plate appearances at those two spots on the diamond, it's just not enough. That's one of the few spots, or those are two of the few spots on the diamond where you generally need power, and they're getting none of it from those guys.
Well, I would say generally that is true, but I think the makeup of this team, it is different, it is unique. And the makeup of it is they're supposed to be getting home runs. I mean, not to put it all on his shoulders, but your aircraft carrier is O'Neill Cruz. He is the guy. And Brian Reynolds. Those two are the guys. They're the power guys. And Reynolds is not necessarily a 30 homer guy, but you could expect 25 from him. And I think we should be expecting 30 plus from Cruz. And both guys should be, you know, approaching 100. Cruz should be over 100 RBIs. Reynolds should be, close to 100 RBI guy. And not to say Horowitz won't hit his share. I mean, Horowitz, for me, should be, a full season. I've talked to other people and other organizations about him who've seen him, even in the Blue Jays organization. They don't know what kind of power he's going to have. They say he probably not to be a big power guy, but he's a doubles guy, and he's a probably, between 15, 20, I think 20 homers, 80 RBIs from that position. I think the Pirates could live with that.
Cruz is, to be fair to him, although I think he's obviously in the midst of a pretty big slump again, he is five clear of everybody else on this team in home runs, and he's the only guy in double digits. I'm more interested just to pick your brain about a play yesterday. He made a laser beam throw that was about a three-quarters to a full second late to catch a runner at home who did not run well. But on the broadcast, Brownie, I was interested. It seemed like you were suggesting that it took him too long to get rid of the ball. Was that because he didn't circle around it enough that you saw, like, to step into it? What was the reasoning there that it took him so long to unload that throw?
Well, I think Kevin Young kind of explained it that, outfielders need to approach the ball so that their setup is, as they're catching it, they're kind of throwing it. And he did not go around the ball. He caught the ball, and then I'm not being critical, it's a fact. It's just the way it was. And he still, as Kevin pointed out, you're talking about a shortstop that's trying to learn as a different throwing motion and all that. He's had opportunities, Chris, and I know he wants to do it, and I'd love to see him start doing it. But if one of the reasons why they wanted him out in the outfield was because of that great arm, well, that's a weapon that's not being used right now. It's the fact that a catcher tagged up and scored last night on him in shallow center, medium depth at best, center, and it's the third time in the past week or so that this has happened. He's going to have to – he's made great strides, but that's one of the areas. One of the weapons is the arm, and it's of no use right now, to be quite frank.
He's hitting his O'Neill Cruz. I know I'm certainly not a batting averages everything guy. He is hitting 164 in June. Since the start of May, you take his May and his June together, he's hitting well under 100. His OPS is diving down into the low 700s after a pretty torrid start to the year. And I thought I know we talked about this, Greg, and I hate to make this all about O'Neill Cruz, but I know you and I talked about thinking he was starting to spit on bad pitches that pitchers wanted him to swing at early in the season, and it looked like he was making a bit of a real leap at the plate. The strikeout to walk looked better. Now it's looking worse again. Why can't it sustain with him right now at the plate? Because as much as I want him to be a very well-rounded center fielder, if he hits 35 to 40 home runs in center field, I can live with the occasional gaffe out there. He's not coming close to doing that. Why do you think it's been a struggle to find consistency at the plate?
Well, I certainly don't know the reason for that. I mean, it's the same thing, when Reynolds was what, but when the series ended the other day at PNC Park, was like one for his last 28. And now you're starting to see him on time again. And so I don't know what's the secret formula for someone coming out of that, that he's in the dreaded moments right now where his timing is off and he's caught in between. And so I don't know what you do to get the timing back, but he's you just see he's caught in between and unsure. And I guess you just have to be patient because you have to have him. You have to have him drive in runs, be a producer. One fun debate for me with some of my baseball friends has been the makeup of the lineup, and we went back and forth. Some buddies and I were talking about this yesterday, actually. For me, I know we talked about lineups the last several years, but when the Pirates are really clicking, I want O'Neill Cruz hitting cleanup, third at worst. So somebody says, well, then who are you going to put in the leadoff spot? Well, maybe Nick Gonzalez. I know they don't want to move Kiner Falefa out of the nine hole because he's performing well there, and some guys are just good at certain spots. But maybe that's a debate for when Cruz starts hitting again. But I also, at this point, Chris, when he comes to the plate and he's in such a funk, he's not an easy out, but they're pitching to him, which they had not in the past. Right. They've been fearful of him. And I don't know. I don't know whether a shakeup of the lineup is called for, but you sure hope he gets out of that, because, man, once he gets going and you got Gonzalez and Horwitz hitting a little bit and Reynolds on time and McCutchen contributing, I'm not saying this is a juggernaut, but it is going to score enough runs. They're going to win their fair share of games with this pitching. So, and you can see it's close. This lineup, I mean, I don't know about Cruz, but the lineup is close.
Brownie, I'll end with a very quick one here and a fun one, because I know you like stories. I think we all like these kinds of stories. This Isaac Mattson thing is very nice. The Erie kid, the Pitt kid, suddenly...
Hey, Chris, I got ripped on social media last night. Hey, he's not from Erie. He's from Harbor Creek.
Well, I wouldn't want Harbor Creek
or Pittsburgh or something. I don't know.
I wouldn't want Harbor Creek or Kearsarge or anything. Gerard, yeah. Pennsylvania. Listen, if you're listening up there, you're in, you know, hold on, let me think of some other places around Erie. If you're in one of those spots, I do not want to offend you if you're in a suburb of Erie listening to this show. I was saying, though, nice story that's turned into the best kind of nice story. You can't get him out of that bullpen right now. He's one of their lights out guys.
Not only that, he's and this is for me, brilliance, maybe too strong a word, maybe it's not fair to Don Kelly, but when people ask you, what's the difference? Don Kelly, when he took over without announcing it, you just knew David Bednar was going to be his closer, Santana was going to be his setup man, and then he starts using guys like Mattson in high-level situations, just like last night, and these players respond in kind because the manager shows such great confidence in them. And what an incredible story Mattson is becoming. And that was an epic battle last night with Christian Yelich. I had not realized, I said on the air, I thought that they were setting up where Mattson was trying to get the last out and Kelly would go to Santana in the eighth, Bednar in the ninth. Was not aware that Santana was down. I should have been, because he had pitched two straight days in three of the last four. So, dummy me, I kind of expected Mattson not to pitch the eighth, but that was, I think, as Kelly called it, a gutsy performance. It was as gutsy as it gets with him and even the other guys. You know, Stratton doing what he had to do. Shugart, another rookie, doing what he had to do. It's hard not to root for these guys because, boy, they've taken a big, big hit the first couple months of this season and not playing good baseball. They're playing way better under Kelly. The wins are close. I mean, they're around 500. That's not nearly good enough. But if they get it clicking, like we talk about, a little bit of that offense, and with this pitching, and I get the sense Ben Cherington is looking to do something big. Talking to him on Sunday on that radio show, he discounted the idea. I mentioned, you know, maybe nothing just needs a tweak. And he didn't really want to use that word. And he also talked about not trying to trade for a rental. So I think something's brewing. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think he's going to pull a trigger on something.
On a move that would make them like a buyer, you mean?
Well, in essence, yeah. I mean, but not just buying for the rest of this year. I mean, okay. I think if we say a buyer, they're going to try and win this year, and I'm not saying that he's giving
You're
up on this year.
You're saying he's trying to make a long-term move.
Yeah, but impactful. You know, not one of those guys that you get the double-A or triple-A guy that's going to be up in a couple years.
Gotcha. Brownie, we'll see if they can take the series tonight in Milwaukee. Appreciate it.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thanks, Mosey.
Make sure you hit us up on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. A couple things I wanted to chew on with Donnie here, just from Greg Brown saying that. We had a good YouTube comment. You know what? If we're evaluating Donnie Kelly right now, I'm not saying Donnie Kelly's some hitting savant, but O'Neill Cruz right now not like responding to the manager in terms of like good play. I'm sure they're trying to pull every lever behind the scenes, Don, but one measure of a manager I would think is how's the best player on the team, or at least the most talented player on the team, performing right now? Poorly. Very poorly. I'm a huge defender of the guy. I don't really have a problem with the throw yesterday. He could have been a little bit more behind the ball. He still threw a seed. I have a problem, like everybody else, with just how ridiculous and lax the let the ball go right by you, essentially. It goes under the wickets and then just stood there dejected. I don't like the body language there because I think it's a lot of it's frustration and annoyance. But yeah, if we're rating the manager here, the best player isn't, or the most talented player is not playing well right now. And it's been a month plus where this has really not been good with him. So that's one thing to chew on here. And I'm wondering if you have a theory as to why O'Neill Cruz can't keep it somewhat consistent. Because mine is, he's so talented. When it's going so well, he, I think, never thinks it's going to stop. And I think when you're that naturally gifted, when it does stop and people start getting you out, I think it's much harder for him to get break out of it than it is a guy who's got to grind a little bit more to succeed.
And the weird part is we've seen multiple players, maybe not a ton on offense, that have responded well to the managerial change, but Cruz really is the only one, or I guess the big one, that has slumped badly since they made that move. I mean, it hasn't been the exact same number of games, but he has been in some kind of funk.
O'Neill Cruz had, in March and April of this year, an OPS of 902. He hit 8 home runs, and that was in 28 games. He had 8 home runs. He knocked in 16. He had stolen 12 bases, 18 walks, just 33 strikeouts. So he's striking out still once per game. The strikeouts the next month, he goes 14 walks, 38 strikeouts, only 4 home runs in 23 games, 10 knocked in. He struck out 3 times as many times as he has now walked this month. That's essentially the course he was on in May as well. His OPS went from 902 to 740 to 503. Like, I'm sorry, if you're Don Kelly, I am also going to judge you on, do you find a way to get through to this guy? I don't think it's like a lack of caring for Cruz, so maybe that's not the right term. Do you find a way to get the most out of this player? Because if you don't, that's a huge problem. The other thing that Greg said at the end there that I'm scratching my head at is he got the sense from Ben Cherington that Cherington's working on something big. They're not a buyer. They're 32 and 48. I wanted to clarify that because the idea that the Pirates would just load up to buy at this year's deadline would be one of the funniest things ever. I am aware that there is a full month of baseball to be played before we get to that point. But like this notion that they're going to make some splashy move is pretty ridiculous. I'm twofold here. I'll believe it when I see it from Ben Cherington, like a legitimate move that would kind of send shockwaves through the organization. And B, I would almost automatically not trust it very much because it's Ben Cherington. Why would he have earned the benefit of the doubt? It feels much more likely that they're going to get as much as they can from Mitch Keller, right? Guy who I think is one for his last 16 decisions, 1-15, despite being really good. Did you see the stat about what their record is when Skeens and Keller start versus every other team with guys who have at least 11 quality starts this year?
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember what the numbers are.
The numbers, I think our buddy Adam Gretz tweeted this out. There are, I think, 8 starters in baseball, when he tweeted it there were, who had at least 11 quality starts this year. The Pirates have 2 of them in Keller and Skeens. Excepting them, the other teams are, I think it's a period of 92 games or something like that. They're like 62-30. They're 109 win pace, those teams. The Pirates are 11-21 when Skeens and Keller pitch. 55 win pace. I don't trust Ben Cherington to make a big move, and I don't know what you're going to do to really bolster this offense that doesn't involve Keller as the centerpiece, which, okay, I mean, they're going nowhere with him. You might as well try to. You got to trade Bednar, do you not? Don't make the same mistake twice. If he continues to pitch pretty well and that ERA creeps down and all those other numbers and everything looks good velocity-wise, location-wise, he's got to go. Who else? Who else is an ass? Heaney's got to be gone.
I would say Santana.
What good's a closer or a late-inning arm if you're not winning a lot of games.
And Dan, then, yesterday...
The further, by the way, you go down the rabbit hole in this, sorry, I'll let you get to that. The further down the rabbit hole you go, you're like, no, you're a huge seller. And then why would you, again, have the GM continue to be employed if we're talking about all these pieces that are somewhat useless to them right now that they should sell off? Why are you giving the guy the opportunity to make the deals? That's what I would be saying. That's what I am saying.
Dan had the feel yesterday, and I agree with him because it does make too much sense that any sort of notable, quote-unquote, that they do have that is on an expiring deal probably as good as gone. So you listed off the pitchers. Heaney has to be like a 99.9% chance.
They need to do that before July 7th. Let's get Heaney. Let's make sure for Bucco Auction House purposes we do that one sooner rather than later.
You have Bednar, you have Santana, both in that bullpen that I think should be going elsewhere. Adam Frazier, who fortunately for you guys is having a better year than what we may have expected at 33 years old.
He's got a 653 OPS. Ugh. That sucks, though.
I mean, a lot of these guys suck, Malzy.
He's having a better year because we thought he would be an absolute crater out there in their offense, and he is technically a half-win player, which, you know, is, I can't believe I'm saying this, on their positional lineup is pretty decent. Do you know who their leader in positional player war is?
I mean, I have it.
Okay.
Like right in front
You're
of
cheating.
Me.
IKF, man.
He would be another one.
A guy with one home run with a 673 OPS. Yeah, he's gone. Tommy Pham's gone. Fellow keratoconus sufferer, Tommy Pham. It's a bulging of the cornea. I actually have it, Donnie. That's why I couldn't get LASIK. Dead scout's honor. Hand to God. Long time ago, one of the laser surgery companies in this area wanted to do an endorsement with me where I had to get LASIK, but they were like, well, we've got to check to make sure your eyes can handle it. And I was gassed up to get it, trust me. I wanted this to happen. They're like, sorry, sir, your scan or whatever came back. You have keratoconus, or however they pronounce it.
So you have that. You have Darius Raynaud syndrome.
Those are my two big syndromes. I got the Darius Raynaud syndrome, and I got the keratoconus. And I mean, I have a big head and I'm ugly. I mean, but other than that, everything's hunky dory.
But Frazier and IKF probably as good as gone. Like, it's two veteran dudes who are super utility men who are putting together at least halfway decent seasons.
Yeah, I mean, you're stretching the bounds of halfway decent, but I know why you're doing it.
IKF's one of their best hitters.
That says more about them than it does about him.
I know. No, well, their best hitter is a man who's almost 40 and who doesn't play defense.
I know.
Their best hitter might be
our guy Nicky G right now. You never know.
Yeah, we'll wait to see a little bit more. He's played 19 games, but we predictably said going into the year, a lot of us, I know I did, Andrew McCutchen will yet again be one of their best players, and here we are. He probably is their best player.
By the way, Gonzalez has played he's taken 80 plate appearances. He and Matt Gorski are both tied for eighth on the team with two home runs. Anyway, I know Greg was trying to get himself talked into their lineup and talked into the idea that Charrington can make a significant splashy move. I still see a team that's just incredibly far away from contention. And they're playing better baseball under Don Kelly, but it's by a matter of degree, I would say, at this point.
I mean, the offense is light years away.
That might be an understatement. It might be still.
You can at least credit like the pitching, like, okay, they have.
It might still be one of the worst offenses I've ever seen. And they've had some bad offenses. I know it's somewhat fashionable because he's their most talented player to really bag on Cruz. Can you envision this offense without him? Take him out of there, and God, they have nothing. They have McCutchen and Reynolds, who are like, Reynolds is having a disappointing year. McCutchen's having a good year. I'm not going to rip him. It's lean times. It's hard times, some might argue. Dusty Rhodes would take one look at this and be like, hold on, I said I had hard times. You guys fooled me. This is even worse.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for the Donnie Debrief. It is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. You know the drill. Don, take it away.
The Debrief, June 24, 2025. Mulzy, this is something I'm sure will be brought up tomorrow with our pal Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. He put this out there early this morning, just after 7 a.m. Does the NFL have a collusion problem? Because an arbitrator found that the NFL did, in fact, encourage teams to collude regarding guaranteed contracts. So Christopher Droney was the system arbitrator here that was going against the NFL. Pablo Torre involved. Florio was obviously all over this with his law background.
Pablo Torre is the one who actually dug all this up. He is on an unbelievable heater. The Belichick stuff, the Jordan Hudson stuff, this.
And Torre found that even though the NFL won, the little excerpt here, I'll just read it word for word from Mike's article at ProFootballTalk.com. Although the NFL won, the NFL lost. As Droney wrote at pages 55 and 56, of the January 14, 2025 ruling, quote, there is little question that the NFL Management Council, with the blessing of the commissioner, encouraged the 32 NFL clubs to reduce guarantees in veterans' contracts at the March 2022 annual owners' meetings.
Does this strike you? My first thought was, isn't this just like a codified, you see it in writing, what we all suspect is that behind the scenes, the league's owners and Goodell are doing as much shady business as they possibly can?
Yes.
I mean, so that's the first thing. I saw somebody, Carrington Harrison, who does afternoons in Kansas City, say that it's not a nothing burger, but it's definitely a media story rather than a fan story. Fans don't care. That might be true, but like, it's still, it's kind of depressing if he's right. Fans are like, yeah, I don't care. Keep the guaranteed money down. So reducing guarantees in veteran salaries.
Yeah, I mean, fans are never going to care. I mean, it's not their money. And oftentimes,
collusion.
It's very often, too, that when we bring up these topics, at least for Steelers players, think of some of the last, you know, few seasons. Watt is the big one right now. Last season, it was Cam Hayward. Seasons before that, we had plenty of others. It is pretty rare, at least from the reception that we get from people, whether it's the text line, the YouTube comments, or people that call in, it seems like people are more against players getting that guaranteed money than they are for it.
I think fans always are tugged in that direction because of the root for the team on the, you know, the name on the front of the jersey, right? I mean, they have, yeah, there are very few exceptions if they feel like a player is great enough, or like with a quarterback, it's just an obvious thing. It's just a, hey, this is the cost of doing business. If you like the player, then you want him to get the money. But yeah, I mean, fans are going to say, hey, we don't root for the player, we root for the team. The NFL, but, so I'll go back to this though. Florio writes, in other words, the NFL wanted its member teams to collude. Collusion's a very dirty word, man. To define it, I'm reading this directly. Secret or illegal. I read that that third word, illegal. Secret or illegal cooperation or conspiracy, especially in order to cheat or deceive others. That should be A1 news. I guess like my main takeaway is the fact that for most people, it's like, yeah, we assume the league's probably a pretty dirty business on the back end here. And so what else do you want us to say? Like, I don't know how to better frame that. It's like if you tell people something that most people already assumed was true, the shock, let me put it this way, the shock value that should accompany something like this, like, holy crap, this is bad, does not exist because everyone is so jaded about the NFL. And also, like, everyone is so just, give me my football. Oh, you gave me 18 or you give me 17 weeks? When's 18 coming? When's 20 coming? If Pony was in here right now, he'd be like, you know, guys, I know this is bad, but I just want more football. I just want, just show me the games. Just want to see these guys hitting each other. Oh, the league didn't want guys to get as much guaranteed money? That's fine. Show me the games.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to put words in his mouth and make him sound like a bad guy, but just that's how people think.
Yeah, as much as it should be bigger news, I think that is the crux of it right there, that it really, it won't connect with a lot of fans. I mean, it doesn't really even connect that much with you or me. I mean, I guess I can't speak for you, but it's not like, see this this morning and think this will be something that rocks the NFL.
I pound my fist on the table. Honey, if we had season tickets, we're getting rid of them. They've colluded one too many times. No. Like, I'm pretty nihilistic about it. I think it's also not at all coincidental that the meeting that this all sprang forth from, happened after the Browns gave that fully guaranteed deal to Watson. Days after. That was, I think, a watershed moment. And I think the NFL quickly slapped Jimmy Haslam, his hand, behind closed doors, I would bet. I bet a lot of owners lined up to make sure they got in on the slapping, and they wanted to make sure that would never happen again.
And given that it has aged so poorly, that certainly didn't help matters.
Yeah, it worked out for itself. I mean, they said, why would we ever do this again? That guy stinks, and he's hurt all the time. We got breaking Steelers contract news, by the way, my friend. Not TJ Watt. I'll just tell you what it is right here. If it was TJ Watt, I'd be like, well, you won't believe who the Steelers just signed to an extension. Deshaun Elliott gets a new 3-year deal.
Oh, that was something that popped out last week.
Oh.
That I think they're just now putting out on their own.
Oh, did I get fooled by them doing that? I'm on vacation. You can't rip me for that, although you were on vacation and clearly saw it.
Yeah, that was...
I getting screwed by the Steelers letterhead thing where they just don't acknowledge moves here, and I'm...
Yeah, like it didn't become official to them until today, so they didn't put it out there.
I'm glad I didn't make a bigger deal out of it and just kind of threw it in flippantly.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find the exact day that happened.
God, see,
it was
this
also,
makes me mad.
It was also a very, very late night news.
Well, does it
dump.
Make you respect me more that when I go on vacation, I actually go on vacation and I try to keep the phone...
Yeah, because
down.
I wish I could do that a little bit more.
I mean, that I don't feel guilty about it. I don't. God, I should have known if they're putting it out there today, it probably happened like 85, you know.
Man, so, okay, this was more than a week ago now.
Oh, what?
This would have been like the first day of your trip. June 16th, Pelissero at 10:03 p.m. The Steelers and Deshaun Elliott agreed to terms on a 2-year extension.
Get the hell out of here. And they have the gall to wait this long? You know what? I bet that link on
that's like an Uber long
one. What are
one.
We doing here?
Normally, I bet you, it's just a couple of days.
I bet you in the official team story, it says financial terms of the deal were not disclosed.
So no, what Pelissero did put that in there,
what
too.
Is it?
Now I got to retrieve it again. It was like $12.05 million.
He's a good football player, man. I think he's just
yeah,
a
I was very
good,
happy with
that
he's
move. Just a good football player. I am a fan of his. I think he's kind of an all business type of guy. Now they would call it a 2-year contract extension.
$12.5 million.
It's really a 2-year extension though, but they love to call it a new 3-year contract
yeah,
because
they love to knock that
value down. No. We didn't give him that. No, it was actually this. That's another one of my stupid little pet peeves, man. They are just addicted to trying to make sure it looks as team friendly as possible.
Man, I can't believe they got you on this a whole week later.
Donnie, when I take vacations, I take a vacation. You got Pony out there like sending out a Dear John letter about being upset or pouring out his heart, I should say, about being upset and then realizing it was a sign of growth that he wasn't so mad that he missed the Aaron Rodgers thing. I'm out there forgetting I have a job.
Yeah, I mean, as nice as it probably is that he's on vacation with his family, his wife, his young daughter. He was probably that meme of guy that's very upset
he's got
under the mask
the,
of
yeah, the
guy
seething
that's happy.
Veins bulging mask. Yeah.
When he's like, oh, that is huge Aaron Rodgers news and I'm not there to break it down.
That is correct. That's how I think that probably went.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.